This is BetCenter on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Welcome back in. It is hour number two of four in VSiN BetCenter, your Saturday night show from downtown Las Vegas at our Circus Sportsbook Studios, where we go through all the action in-game and get you set a little later in the show for all the action in NFL Week 13. Back with Jeff Parles, who's always got action. I'm Ben Wilson. I mean, there could be... It's
hey,
a shame.
We're trying to usher home this Gonzaga plus +8.5 in game.
That is a very good way
we're
to put
trying
it.
Ushering it home.
And again, that was we're mostly focusing on the college football from the in-game perspective, but there was one marquee college basketball game on the card tonight in Seattle with Gonzaga, the number three team in the country, going off as a 9.5-point favorite in this quote-unquote neutral site game against 16th-ranked Alabama. A total of anywhere from 163.5, as high as 165. It's Alabama who leads 76-72 with the under four media timeout. Jeff, you're in at Gonzaga plus +8.5 live. You're feeling good there. The question is, are the Zags going to actually get this comeback and win outright?
I don't know how good I feel, because every single time Gonzaga's gotten this is the tightest they've been now in the second half at 76-72. Every single time they've either gotten a stop and then missed a free throw, and then Bama comes down and hits a three. Or earlier, got to five, Bama hit him with a 10-0 run right back. So, look, very impressive from an Alabama team who I love Nate Oates. I think he's a tremendous basketball coach. I think he's destined for an even better job than Alabama. And Alabama's a pretty good job as it is. But 9 days ago, they lost to Iona in Orlando. And since then, that was a pretty good wake-up call. For them.
I would say so.
Again, those two teams, of course, played in the NCAA tournament last year, a 2-15 matchup that was a little bit closer for comfort than you would have liked.
Certainly, the Fighting Patinos gave a good...
Still the best basketball coach there is in the country.
Gave a good little scare to the Tide of that 2-15 matchup last year. You're going to need some help, although as Alabama, I believe, just hits a three to make it 79-72 to get over that one, anywhere from 163.5 to 165. We're currently sitting 151 for the game as that three is up and in. 7-point lead for the Tide, trying to pull off the upset of third-ranked Gonzaga. There you see your live spreads, money line totals, all of that, courtesy of Bet Rivers. All right, back to the college football. Two games at the half right now. Our final two conference championship games of what has been a huge college football Saturday. We'll circle back in a moment. We've already discussed the implications and our thoughts from Georgia-Alabama with the Tide, number three, beating number one Georgia. The thinking both of those teams will be in the college football playoff. We'll discuss Cincinnati, Jeff, in a moment as the number four team in the land holds serve. Now, the question now will be, does Michigan also hold up its end of the bargain as the number two team and stay in the college football playoff? We mentioned going into our last break, this is Michigan laying 3.5 for the second half, up 14-3 at halftime. I have seen, though, a little bit of money come to the over in the second half, surprisingly enough. We are at 20.5 now for the second half, so that is giving you a 37.5 for the game. I do see one book that has taken enough Michigan money to drive the second half line up to -4, which would be Michigan laying the full 15 for the game. Right now, a lot of juice on the favorite as well at that 3.5 point number. We discussed that a little bit before, how Iowa has really not been able to move the ball whatsoever as a team. They are averaging less than 2 yards per carry on the ground. In the meantime, our other conference championship game, Jeff, the ACC title game, you were regretting not getting in on Pitt Live. They were at one point getting 9.5 for the first half alone. Yes. But they are now laying points for the game. 24-21 lead at the half. A Pitt team that went off laying 3 or 3.5. And not a surprise here, at least on the spread, Jeff. Pick 'em at just about every book with a lot of juice on the Pitt side, -20 or -25. For the rest of the game. Meanwhile, Wake on the total here, 35.5 for the second half, 45 points, 35 of them coming here, Jeff, in the first quarter.
If you have one of those 97.5s under, you're in pretty good shape now. But
I'll say.
Look, you're dealing with two teams that are, I know Pitt had a path to make the playoff. I guess technically, Wake Forest technically had their path too. If they don't get destroyed by Clemson a few weeks ago and they're sitting into this game going 11-1, they might have an argument. I think their argument would have shut down completely after the results earlier today with Bama winning and then Cincinnati winning and then inevitably Michigan winning this Big Ten title game. But look, the second half, I probably would not touch this game now, Ben. I think it's probably everything is about where it needs to be. Pitt, 3.5 and that 80.5 that you see at DraftKings right now. I think those numbers about right.
All right. And again, that's not a game that has a college football playoff implications, nor does it really have any more Heisman implications for quarterback Kenny Pickett, as it seems as though the freshman quarterback for Alabama, Bryce Young, all but locked up his Heisman candidacy. I think that's fair to say, with his outstanding performance today.
Man.
I think that
it's over.
It's over. It is over. What is what was also up for grabs earlier today, the potential as we came into the weekend kind of trying to figure out, Jeff, where would all the chaos be? How much of it would we get? And a lot of that centered around the thought that would Cincinnati be a vulnerable team as the number four team in the college football playoff coming in? They were laying a pretty big number, 10.5 in that matchup at home in the AAC title game against Houston. And once again, Jeff, Cincinnati, who had that stretch midseason where they failed to cover four straight games as 20-plus point favorites, did not look particularly impressive. Desmond Ridder saw his candidacy for the Heisman Trophy completely wane with some subpar performances, but they come out today against a Houston team who'd won 11 straight since an opening week loss and really handled the Cougars after a slow start, 35-20 the win. They cover that number. Total does go over. You're closing 52.5 that you see right there. And, Jeff, you have for a team that was under pressure all season, who had to handle all of the media attention saying this is just a fraudulent team that hasn't really played anybody outside of Notre Dame, doesn't deserve to be in the conversation here for the college football playoff, you have to give Luke Fickell, the head coach, so much credit for, A, getting this done, going the full undefeated season, but also with all the swirling rumors about where could he potentially go, would he be a top candidate for some of these jobs, the fact that he stayed, the fact that he kept his team focused, and there was no sign at all of a team that looked to be playing under all that pressure today. Incredibly impressive performance, not only this week, but last week in that win against SMU.
Well, the SMU game was a total destruction.
Yes.
SMU.
Beatdown.
As soon as it was known that Sonny Dykes was going to leave for that TCU job, that team totally imploded in on itself. But look, in the end, Ben, a very impressive showing again by Cincinnati, a team that has been very good all year. And look, they have earned their playoff berth. They will lose to Alabama in the national semifinal. But just getting to that point is such a big deal for the non-Power Fives. And look, once the playoff expansion comes, I know there's a lot of ridiculousness going on behind the scenes with the committee and everyone involved. But we will see it expand, and there will be credence to those non-Power Five teams that going forward – get in as the extra team and have a real chance of maybe even making a run at this. Granted, for Cincinnati, their move to the Big 12 is imminent as well. So another stepping stone, and it will only help them moving forward into the Big 12.
You're certainly right. That in a 13-0 season, congratulations to Luke Fickell. I thought the most amazing thing I thought from this game when you do the box score analysis was that Clayton Tune had 23 carries for 21 yards for Houston.
How many times did Tune get sacked in the second half, though?
Well, I mean that's part of it. Again, quarterback, that's going to always going to be skewed a little bit. But they did hold him to under 300 yards passing, 17-26. Tune goes for 250. Desmond Ridder didn't put up huge numbers. Only 11-17, 190, and 3 touchdowns. But to Jerome Ford carried the day, carrying the rock, 18-187. And a couple of scores for Cincinnati. The game we really need to give the kind of the full autopsy here, as a guy you produce for, Gil Alexander would say at a numbers game, this Baylor-Oklahoma State game, which, look, in all honesty now, you almost wonder from the Oklahoma State perspective, is it better to just lose in agonizing fashion the way you did, or would you just see everything else go wrong around you and probably lock you out regardless of a top four finish, because that's probably what would have happened, assuming Michigan holds on, even if Oklahoma State had won. I mean, I don't see a scenario where they would have moved up into the top four with Alabama beating Georgia. But Oklahoma State loses coming into the day. You were number 5 in the college football playoff, Jeff. You thought, all right, you win. You see some chalk hold. You see Georgia beat Alabama, and you're probably in the top four. And you're feeling pretty good about yourself. But they lose the game 21-16, despite Baylor starting a backup quarterback in this game, Blake Shapen, who, when he was announced, Jeff, this line went up. At one point, it was Oklahoma State -5.5. Goes all the way to the Cowboys laying 7. You just felt from the start, though, Spencer Sanders was off from the beginning. He ends up throwing 4 picks in this game. But I know what you wanted to get to was the coaching malpractice
There were just a lot of weird things in this game, to put it politely, from the
coaching.
That's
a very polite way of putting it.
Look, the nonsense started when Aranda, and look, you know I'm pro going for it on fourth down. But Oklahoma State's offense showed no ability to move the ball. You're up 2 scores. in the third quarter. The only way that Oklahoma State can realistically get back in the game is if you give them a short field off of a turnover or a turnover on downs or a special teams play. You got to punt in that scenario instead of going for it in that scenario. They threw an incomplete pass. Oklahoma State went right down, scored a touchdown, and it was a game again. Oklahoma State had 7 plays from inside the 2-yard line and had 3 points in the fourth quarter off of it.
Amazing.
I wouldn't have kicked the field goal down 8. I would have gone for it from the 3, even though they really showed no ability that they were able to get any yardage. And the play calling at the end of the game, like, Oklahoma State actually did the proper thing, running the clock down almost as much as you possibly can. That was good. The problem is that, you keep the ball at the 1-yard line. You have to score. I'm sorry, you have to score in that scenario. And, of course, they did not. And now Oklahoma State, a what-if scenario for them, would they have snuck in if they snuck out of this game with a win instead of Cincinnati? I would have hoped they would not have because they are.
I don't think you could make a case for that.
I don't think so at all. They Cincinnati's a better football team as a whole. They just are.
And
the biggest difference is that Desmond Ridder's good, and Spencer Sanders against good teams has really been bad. And he was bad today. That's why Oklahoma State lost in the end more than anything.
By the way, man, Alabama down the stretch. This is now, oh my God.
Oh, Jeff, we're within the half.
Just got a ridiculous 3 by Gonzaga. Oh, they're going to give up a dunk.
Okay, we're going to have to score it. Oh,
he missed the dunk. Oh, but they got
it back. No foul. Oh, come on.
That's Visa's Bet Center in a nutshell, is it not? We'll tell you what we're yelling about next. Oh, what a terrible break.
This is Bet Center on VSIN, the Sports Betting Network.
The VSIN Bowl Betting Guide is almost here with everything you need to bet smarter on every bowl game. This year's guide provides matchup analysis on all 41 bowl games, including insights, trends, data, and predictions to help you make your best bets. The guide is designed to give you an edge whether you're betting on every game, playing contests, or just want to find a few key high-value props. The guide drops on December 13th, so make sure to get your copy today for only $19.99. You can do that at vsin.com/subscribe. As we welcome you back, it's VSIN Bet Center Saturday night from the place to be. It's downtown Las Vegas, Circus Sportsbook Studios. It doesn't always go well for us with these in-game bets.
That's
putting it lightly. Jeff Parles alongside me. I'm Ben Wilson. Jeff, you want to take the fine folks
through this
Alabama-Gonzaga late-game sequence?
Look, credit to the Tide, first off. 91-82 final. Alabama beats Gonzaga in a virtual Gonzaga home game in Seattle. And now Gonzaga has now lost to the two best teams that they have played. The 8.5 and the 7.5 for the game that you could have gotten for Gonzaga getting the points both died a pretty horrible, horrible death in the end. Gonzaga got it all the way down to 4, the under 4 timeout. Bama hit him with an 11-0 run to get it back to 15. And then Gonzaga had gotten it back to 8 miraculously enough. Alabama comes down, misses a dunk, but gets the offensive rebound, and Gonzaga fouls down 8 with under 10 seconds left. Bama 1-2, 1-2 free throws to go up 9. Missed contested layup, missed contested putback. They were both pretty hard shots, so it's not like they missed bunnies. Bama was actually playing defense all the way through, and my bets die a death. And for Alabama, they lost to Iona last Thanksgiving Day in Orlando, and since then have beaten Drake, beat Miami by 32, and then beat Gonzaga in basically a Gonzaga home game. Good run after that. Nice wake up for the Crimson Tide.
Number 16, Tide get the win over number 3, Gonzaga. You and I, Jeff, along with a bunch of others, we were there at T-Mobile Arena for the highly anticipated number 1 versus number 2 a couple weeks ago, Gonzaga versus UCLA. You come out of that game now, and the media, look, you get it. I mean, it was a 1 versus 2, and Gonzaga was up 20 pretty early in that game, coasted to a 20-point win, and the thought coming out of that game was, all right, we're ready to say Gonzaga's the clear number 1 team. I guess the takeaway I would think ultimately is that UCLA really should not be considered in the same class of the Gonzagas, the Dukes, the top teams right now based on what we've seen so far. And Gonzaga is certainly not a team who's going to be the unanimous number 1 And they're going to have to be, I mean, they certainly, Mark Few, challenging his team with a difficult non-conference schedule, but based on how weak the WCC historically is, they're going to have to be pretty much perfect in that league, although San Francisco, St. Mary's much better this year. But it's going to take a lot for them still to be a one seed, don't you think?
BYU's a legitimate top 15 team this year. Too. I know they lost to Utah Valley earlier this week, but that's still a good basketball team, too. Look, Gonzaga's road to getting a one seed again, and here's the thing, too. Gonzaga doesn't have to be perfect like they were in the past anymore. We're past the point of, oh, this team plays in a nonsense league and doesn't play anyone at non-con. They still are going to have wins over two legitimate top 15 teams, even though we don't think UCLA, or at least for me, I don't think Texas is in the true national championship competitor rung of basketball. But they still are in a scenario where they're still going to be there. But look, Gonzaga's not as good as they were last year. And the biggest difference is Jalen Suggs is playing for the Orlando Magic now. That is the biggest difference. Whenever they really got in trouble last year, Suggs would be able, and again, they very rarely got in trouble, but when they did, Suggs would bail them out. As good as Drew Timmy is.
No love for Corey Kispert, now a Washington Wizard.
He
was a little bit exposed, just a little bit in the national
Kispert
title game.
Was terrible in that tournament last year. Yeah. Suggs was the best player in the country by the end of the year last year. But look, again, a college basketball day where you currently have a Iowa State Creighton game that has 57 points with 14 minutes to go in the game.
It's your kind of basketball right there.
You got a day today where Tennessee wins in Colorado in altitude. You have a day where Florida State blows a 17-point lead at home to Syracuse. Still a lot of things to be worked out so far this year at college. I mean,
it's December 4th. We got a lot of time to go.
But a lot of these conferences are playing conference games this week.
Yeah.
Which is, again, I know everyone's got extra two games now, 20 games in most of these leagues, but still, it's very early.
Highlighted no more so than Arizona State's 29-point output. So.
It was a very, very, very
good
showing.
Was that Wednesday against Wazoo at home?
Yeah.
And, 29 points?
And meanwhile, Seton Hall is playing Nyack College today. So there you go.
Okay. Nyack.
Right on the Hudson River there.
I knew you would know that, Jeff Barles. By the way, we're both of our college football conference championship games back underway for the second half, 24-21 Pitt as Wake gets the ball to start the third quarter. Michigan, Iowa, they are back underway as well. 14-3 Michigan in Indianapolis. Iowa starting the ball to begin the second half. We'll keep you posted on those second halves as they play out, particularly the Michigan game since that has the most appeal impact for the college football playoff with Michigan sitting at number two. But we have the benefit, Jeff, of getting a game that hardly ever happens. It is also the last week, if you're a college football fan, we have been with you every week talking about the Chase game, usually involving the Rainbow Warriors of the University of Hawaii. That is not the case tonight. They are not participating in our Chase game, but we have one last get-back game, 11 o'clock Eastern kickoff, and it is a game, Jeff, that literally means nothing, except to the players, coaches, family members of the USC Trojans and Cal Golden Bears, respectively. As USC goes to Cal laying 4.5 in this spot. The total is what I'm interested in, Jeff. I want to get your thoughts on the angle here, where a total of 57 or 57.5. You have two teams who are both non-bowl eligible. USC will not be, by the way, this will not be the head coaching debut for Lincoln Riley. Smartly so. He's going to sit this one out. USC will finish up with its interim head coach, Justin Wilcox. We'll coach out here the string for Cal. Neither team going to a bowl. So would this not, Jeff, we get, this is so rare, and this, by the way, the reason the game is happening when it is tonight, this was originally postponed because of all sorts of COVID issues within the Cal program, rescheduled for tonight in Berkeley. So the final game for Cal, who were just embarrassed 42-14 at UCLA, USC final game for them as well, after that narrow loss at home to BYU last week, 35-31. Does this not set up, though, for the perfect over game and a game where it does not mean anything? These certainly Justin Wilcox likely to be back for Cal, but certainly for USC, final game on the interim regime, a lot of changes for both programs set to come in the offseason. You would think, with all that being said, this would be a game where little defense to none is played in a spot like this, and I'm very intrigued in the over 57 here.
Yeah, it's it's ridiculous.
It's remarkable.
It's completely ridiculous. Look, you're dealing with USC, who played significantly harder than I would have expected last week against BYU, covering all numbers. You have a Cal team that, even with it being a disappointing season, if the city of Berkeley did not cause half the roster to be out against Arizona, this actually would be meaning something for Cal. Yeah. This would have been for bowl eligibility. And then I would say you bet Cal and you stay off the total. I'm not sure why Cal's getting bet here. Like,
my thought is Keaton Slovis will miss his second straight game. So it's a backup quarterback for USC. Jackson Dart, who actually played pretty well in his first career start.
Jackson Dart's been totally fine when he's had to play.
So he was fine, 23-35, 248 and a touchdown last week. But more than that, I think, Jeff, it's just the thought when you have an interim coach and everybody knows they're on the way out, you have Lincoln Riley coming in, that because it's the final home game, I would think, for Cal, USC maybe laying it all out of the line in that home game against BYU on its senior night, that maybe the Trojans just kind of mail it in here. I'm with you. I don't really understand a Cal team who is 4-7 this year laying 4.5 points in a spot like this. I don't want anything to do with the side. That's why it's a total that interests me. And on the quarterback side for Cal, part of this, for my logic too, Chase Garber's not sure if he is going to be back next year. He is not completely committed as to whether he is going to return. He would be able to with a COVID eligibility next season, but he really struggled in that game at UCLA. 16-31, 125 yards and 2 picks. You have to think they'll want to pump things up for him, at least to, you know, again, with Justin Wilcox likely to be back, you're hoping. I mean, Garbers has had a guy who's been highly hyped over his career while the struggles have been there, Jeff. I could see this game being one where Garbers, they try to put up some points. Cal has really struggled against USC. I mean, it has been one-way traffic in that Pac-12 matchup. So this is maybe the one time where Cal is going to try to put up as many points as possible. And we just saw them give up 42 to UCLA last week. That's why I think points will be not at a premium whatsoever. It's not going to be Wake.
I will say, though, this could be the ultimate of ultimate in-game betting games for college, because if one of these two teams, it could work either way. If one of these two teams looks like they want no business being there, whatever the side that looks like they want to be there, you could probably just keep betting that one side and you're probably getting home, as long as you just don't go too crazy with taking huge numbers, Ben.
Even it's like if Cal comes out of the gates and it's obvious USC is just drawing dead, and it's, you know, hey, look, so even if your number is going to go up over 7 pretty much right away.
I think that's one of those where you can go ahead and do it. I mean, I'm more likely to see USC. USC's either going to win the game outright or they're going to get thrashed.
Michael Trigg, by the way, just ruled out, tight end for USC, as well as safety Xavien Alford. So a couple guys just being ruled out, and I'm not sure how much that's going to mean. Sure. I'm going to fire on the total. I'm going to go over. It's going to be a very small bet.
Go Ben Wilson.
Go Al. Thank you. Thanks for the ringing endorsement. We'll update the current in-game college football matchups when we return. VSiN Bet Center on a Saturday night.
This is BetCenter on VSiN, the sports betting network.
The VSiN holiday offer is here right now. When you sign up for our $99 midseason football special, you'll also receive a $20 credit to the VSiN store. Get all of our expert sports betting analysis, insights, and data for the rest of the football season, plus $20 to buy VSiN sports betting hats, shirts, mugs, and other great gear. Hurry, this is a limited time offer, so sign up now for the perfect sports betting holiday gift at vsin.com/subscribe. As we're back with Jeff Parles, who is looking for Central American International Soccer to bet at this late time of night.
I think we're going to live bet the Golden State Warriors losing by 5 with 7 minutes to go at home against San Antonio. It seems like a reasonable idea.
On back-to-back for the Warriors after a huge game last night where they play the Suns. And
down 5 with 7 minutes to go? Plus 120?
You sound like a man who wants to have a bet.
They've outscored
the Spurs 8-2 in the fourth quarter.
Little steaming still on the Gonzaga loss.
It's not a fun feeling.
By the way, Michigan's inside the 5, so... I think a Michigan touchdown here, and these teams could play 16 more quarters, and Iowa still would not make up the 18-point deficit.
I know we don't have the live in-game team totals here in the Nevada jurisdictions, but
yes, we do, Ben Wilson.
Yes, we do. I apologize to the Nevada jurisdiction.
It is currently off the board at the one place that would have it.
By the way, touchdown Michigan, Hassan Haskins. It is 20-3 now, Wolverines. A big touch, by the way, even though Iowa's not been able to move the ball. Big score for for the bettors who laid it, many of them laying Michigan. This was bet up from 11 to minus 12.5 by kickoff as Michigan for the first time, it was 14-0 briefly, but for the first time in the second half are now covering that closing number up to 20-3. My point, though, Jeff, is this not one of those games from the in-game, if you are in a jurisdiction, if you got the market that's got the in-game team totals where you're just hammering Iowa team totals under?
Here's the one problem now, okay?
I mean, what is it at?
Here's that's the one problem. Question. You're at 9.5 now. So you're asking in a game that could end up being a rout, and it's heading that way, you're asking Michigan to play the full 60 and not give up a touchdown. Now, if you're asking a team to be stopped, Iowa is the one team you'd want to be going with. I wouldn't do it now. I wouldn't do it now. I'd be more inclined. Here's the thing now, because we have seen games like this with Michigan this year where I'll take the Northwestern game. I know Iowa's better than Northwestern, but the play styles are pretty similar. You hope your defense holds up as well as it can, and you hope your offense hits one or two big plays, and that is enough to carry you home like Iowa did against Penn State. Michigan totally dominated Northwestern and shut them out in the second half of that game. And the total, second half total is a 24.5. It was 24-0 Michigan in the second half. You ended up winning if you had your unders a few weeks ago on that one. I would be more inclined, I think, Ben, to probably bet this thing under at 38.5 right now. Because you're at 14, you're at 14.5.
Would you rather take both behind us at South Point? Yeah. It is 38 with huge juice to the over. We're talking minus 25. So you're getting a little plus money on the under 38. Would you rather do that, or would you rather go even juice on the 38.5?
I think I'd probably just take the hook and try to win. I think that's what I would do.
Because, yes, with the 38, with that heavy, even the reason there's the heavy juice, because push certainly with two touchdowns in play at 21-3.
And look, it's just a scenario where you're looking at Michigan scoring two touchdowns and winning this game 35-3 is a very logical final.
That certainly would be. As there is a look at some of your live lines, DraftKings showing a 19.5 currently, a lot of 20s as well in the market. One quick side note as well on the other game going on right now, Wake Forest and Pitt. If you took a pregame over in this game, and look, honestly, Jeff, why wouldn't you have taken a pregame over? This got bet up from 71 this morning all the way up to anywhere from 73 to 74.5, the highest number that closed behind us at Circa. You watched 31 plays run in the first quarter alone, 35 points. And you thought, all right, I mean, the first half total, Jeff, was like 37.5 here. So you're thinking, all right, we're totally good on a total. Well, it is 24-21 in a game that had 35 first quarter points. And your in-game total, Jeff, we're all the way back to where we started, 74.5. Can you believe that? Can you believe having an overtake? You probably just turned off the game. You're like, all right, we're good. To say things have slowed down between two defenses who have not really existed all season in a conference championship game, kind of amazing that is happening.
Yeah, you're sitting in great shape if you took the under 97.5.
Good Lord.
I'll give Pitt's defense credit because they played fairly well since the first quarter. I mean, 31 first quarter plays for Wake Forest, and Pitt's defense has held up very nicely since then. Kenny Pickett has played well tonight. He throwing the ball 13-22, 188, two touchdowns, and he had a magnificent 58-yard touchdown run earlier where he pulled off the fake slide, Ben Wilson.
Oh, that is
which was
amazing.
As good of a play as you're ever going to see from a quarterback, totally deking out the Wake Forest defenders and prancing on into the end zone when it was all said and done. But look, for this one, you still have a lot of ball game left. I still think the full game over is going to get the pre-flop over is going to get there. But it's they're making it a little more sweaty than it needs to be, Ben.
And they do have the ball back, by the way. 10:29 to go in the third quarter. Pitt Lang, I'm seeing anywhere from 4.5 to 5.5 right now on your live line. The fake slide, second best quarterbacking play I've ever seen, only to the, I believe it was 2001 week like 8, Peyton Manning and the Colts in New Orleans, and Peyton Manning pulled off the fake spike, there was like 1 second left in the half, running up to the line, fake spike, jumped up and down as to pretend that he had gotten the clock stopped before the half came to an end, and then ran for a 40-yard touchdown, and only because our favorite ref, Jeff Triplett, was totally incompetent, that there was apparently a stray whistle somewhere in there because the refs didn't even know. The refs didn't even realize how brilliant of a move it was by Peyton. They blew the play dead.
You're telling me Peyton Manning faked out Jeff Triplett? I'm stunned.
And not only that, he ran for a 40-yard touchdown off of that, which then got called back. And Peyton, I believe he brought it up on the Manning cast a few weeks ago. He's still bitter about that. We have, throughout the course of the start of the show, at least, we've also circled back, looked at some of the games from earlier today as part of Conference Championship Saturday. The one we've covered the big one so far, Jeff. I want to get your thoughts on some of these smaller games that did have really interesting betting swings from line movements and everything. The Mountain West title game was one to me that really stuck out, where Utah State takes on San Diego State. Aztecs got a lot of market support. This game closed as high as 6.5, bet up from 6 most of the week. Total of 49 or 49.5, which felt a little bit high to me on the surface, Jeff, because I thought, all right, this San Diego State defense has been so rock solid all year. We've seen Utah State struggle against the top line teams in the Mountain West. You could see a scenario where the Aggies struggle to move the ball. And yet, as you see the board, it was Utah State almost going over that total by themselves, 46-13, where this game totally swung on an early stop. San Diego State going for it, 4th-and-1, deep in Utah State territory, in a nothing-nothing game early second quarter. They get stuffed. Then on San Diego State's next drive, they miss a field goal. And from then on, Jeff, the floodgates just opened. And a conclusion to what was a very bizarre Mountain West season in a nutshell. So I guess it makes sense that Utah State completely blasts San Diego State in what was a technical neutral site game that was basically a road game, since being in Carson, California, where the Aztecs played all their home games this year. What do you think of that?
It was a football game.
It was a football game.
Really not much to say other than the fact that Utah State blocked Araz's punt twice. Like, the best punter in the country, who had no punts blocked, was averaging over 50 yards a punt net, and Utah State blocks two punts. I mean, that's really the whole story. Just everything that could go wrong for San Diego State went wrong. There are a bunch of bloated numbers on Utah State early in the year to win the Mountain West. You got in on one of those 50-to-1s. Job well done on that. Blake Anderson coming over from Arkansas State. Tremendous job. Cleaning up the Gary Anderson mess in Logan. But in the end, impressive win for Utah State. And for Brady Hoke, coming up small in a big spot yet again.
It was really my opportunity to set you up, Jeff, to say something about that, because I knew you wanted
it. It took me till the end to get there. But seriously, it's just not much to say on that game.
We waited an hour and 39 minutes for you to disparage Brady Hoke.
A good season all in all for San Diego State. A total thud at the end.
Really was. And by the way, Jeff, I hope you I realize I kind of talked you off the ledge on that potential Warriors in-game bet, but they have now tied the game with 3 minutes to go. Spurs-Warriors 101-101. And it very interesting early season. Western Conference showdown. Warriors right now, your number one team in the West at 19-3. Second leg of a back-to-back, trying to come back against the suddenly surging Spurs, who have won 3 straight now at 7-13 on the year. So that game is tied with 3 minutes to go. That's probably the biggest marquee game on the NBA card. And actually, the Warriors have now just gone ahead by 2 with under 2 minutes to go. Now 106-104, so we will let you know what happens there. We'll give our final college football thoughts. I'm going to have Jeff set his, assuming Michigan holds, lines for college football playoff semifinals and his picks, because I know he's got a, not really a hot take, but he's an underdog I know Jeff already likes. We're going to talk about that next. Before we get into our NFL Week 13 previews, I know, Jeff, you're ready. You're ready to lay out a big dog.
I'm not taking Cincinnati, guys.
I was hoping you would. That would have been quite the appearance.
Not outright, at least.
All right. We'll talk more about it next. Then get into some NFL here in about 20 minutes, all on VSiN Bet Center.
This is BetCenter on VSiN, the sports betting network.
This segment of VSiN BetCenter is brought to you by Zyn Nicotine Pouches, a fresh way to enjoy nicotine without all the baggage of cigarettes, dip, or vape. No more smelling like an ashtray, no more spit cups and no batteries to charge or leaky equipment to deal with. Zyn nicotine pouches are smoke-free, spit-free, and available in 10 varieties like spearmint, wintergreen, citrus, and many more. And for your convenience, each variety comes in 2 strengths, so you can easily find the satisfaction level that's perfect for you. Zyn, America's number one nicotine pouch, is available in over 100,000 locations nationwide. meaning it's never been easier to find your Zyn. So head on over to Zyn.com/find to locate a store near you. That is ZYN.com/find. Warning, this product contains nicotine. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. As we are back, it's VSiN Bet Center with Jeff Parles. I'm Ben Wilson. I believe I have successfully cajoled Jeff into making a little late night college football wager.
We'll take the over 57. And the college football, well, we have Army-Navy next week. But other than the Army-Navy game and the college football regular season with a totally meaningless game going over the total. Look, I tend
USC Cal.
I tend to agree with some on Twitter that are like, this game just for the sake of Pac-12 after dark, we need some loony stuff to happen in this game, including, like a 48-42 game that comes down to someone deciding to something idiotic. Like, we're actually 48-47 where whoever's down goes for two at the end, which, by the way, if this game goes to overtime, everyone has failed at their jobs. I'm just throwing that out.
Well, the last time Cal beat USC, they've lost 9 straight, won in triple overtime, if you remember that game.
I do, actually. You remember that? Yes.
So that's kind of the vibe I'm getting. I could see this going the other way, where we get to the dueling two-point conversions and somebody tries like a reverse Statue of Liberty or
someone
something.
Tries to kick a PAT on a two-point conversion shootout.
They try for a rouge on a two-point play. Anyway, that is we talked about this a little bit earlier in the hour, but again, a game that means literally nothing.
Nothing.
Both teams' seasons are done. Again, if you're wondering, wait, why are they playing this game? It's college football conference championship week. Well, this was when half the team for Cal was out with COVID and the game was postponed. They, at the time, announced they would make up the game. They would actually play the game, not cancel it. They would play it on this date. So it is being played, final game of the year for both teams, neither of whom are bowl eligible. And it will not be Lincoln Riley's debut. He's not going to be involved. He did meet with some of the players this week. This will be the last game for the interim regime for USC. Meanwhile, Justin Wilcox and Cal, they are hoping to get Chase Garbers back for next season, who has led the overall Pac-12 in total offense. He will play tonight after throwing for just 125 yards and 2 picks. So that's why I like the over as well. Part of this, Jeff, not only are you going to have two teams who have zero incentive, likely no defense, but I expect Garbers to bounce back after throwing 2 picks in last week's game at UCLA. And we will see the backup quarterback as well, who has been solid, though. Keaton Slovis is officially out. He is not playing tonight for USC. As I see, Jeff, you were losing your mind about something in Indianapolis. I'm just going to finish the point here. USC going to start its freshman for making his second start of the year in Jackson Dart, who was solid last week in a tight loss at home to BYU. What just happened in Indianapolis while
fourth
I was making
and three,
my
Iowa
overcase?
Goes forward, no problem in the red zone, down 18.
You have to.
No problem there going forward.
But
can't even properly describe what they just ran there on fourth and three, but ended up with a play with absolutely no chance to pick it up. And
a 7-yard loss on fourth and three on a passing play.
Yeah, it was, it's not good, Ben.
Was it?
It was not good.
On something that I assume was not a designed, like, wide receiver pass.
Ben, it was not good. Just that's all I can tell you. And Iowa.
Well, I think my
statement continues that Iowa and Michigan can play now 15 more quarters of football, and Iowa probably still couldn't make up an 18-point deficit.
I wonder what that juice is on that team total under 9.5 now.
That's got to that now.
Which I
now
fully
you're
going to
be in
before.
The territory where it's got to be
because you wouldn't make it.
It's either got to be 6.5. Well, they're not going to kick.
Yeah, there's
field
no
goal
scenario
now.
Where they kick a
no,
field goal.
No, there you go. Here we go. Now we're. Now you're asking Michigan to shut them out the rest of the way. You're 3.5.
Oh, really?
Flat. No, that makes sense.
Which is the same
that makes,
bet.
That makes sense.
I should say it's the same bet as like 8.5.
Oh, I'm sorry. It's actually moved now. Now 4.5. Legitimately, there's no difference between a 3.5 and
what,
a 4.5.
We're going to get a conceding safety at the end here by Michigan just to give us a 21-5 scoreline?
Could you imagine losing a team total over under 4.5 on a meaningless safety?
If there's a coach that would
24-5.
If there was a coach that would pull that, it's definitely Jim Harbaugh, though.
Well, now this just keeps getting bet up. It's up to 5.5 now.
All right, this is.
See, now the safety's out of play, man.
This is moronic. We're talking in-game team totals. That's the beauty of this show.
No, hey, look.
21-3 Michigan,
guys,
by the way.
Guys, we're trying. We're trying to find something bettable in this game right now.
I don't think there's anything bettable right now. I will restate the fact that the in-game under 48.5, 49.5, that was the play.
That was the bet.
Earlier when Michigan had two huge touchdown plays early, neither team has really moved the ball since then. Michigan 21-3, 1 minute to go, and your live total now down to 32 and a half, or I'm seeing actually as low as 31 and a half in some shops in this game. Still, nobody has scored in the second half, by the way, in Wake and Pitt, 24-21, although Pitt is in the red zone, 3rd and 10 with 4:36 to go in the third quarter. So that's that total that you thought you were good at, if you bet it anyway, anywhere from 71 up to 74 and a half, all of a sudden is in some peril there. Before we end, and there's again, look at your live numbers in game total now down to 70 and a half at DraftKings. Before we get into our NFL, which as we always do on this show, we cover final 2 hours of the program. Jeff, I want to get you to set the lines here and what you would be playing for the college football semifinals if we assume we're going Alabama 1 versus Cincinnati 4 and Michigan 2 versus Georgia 3. Where are your lines and who are you leaning?
All right, so there's two scenarios with Alabama. Let's start Alabama-Cincy. There are two scenarios here. You can go to high end or the low end here. You could end up with a 14 for Alabama-Cincy. I would say that's too low. Then you could get the 16.5-17, which I would say is probably too high, but I'm not interested in betting Cincinnati. So I would probably guess, probably going on the higher end. Maybe you open 14. Maybe these places open 14 and a hook on Alabama and Cincinnati, and then take the Bama money and then go from there. That would be my guess. And then Georgia, Michigan, I'm just curious to see how much that number nosedives because of what we saw today from Georgia, where, look, Vinny said he would have made a 10 between these two teams before today, maybe down to 7.5. I think I'm going to look into the camera real quick. If it is Michigan and Georgia, the Michigan Wolverines will beat the Georgia Bulldogs and play Alabama in the national championship game in Indianapolis on the second Monday in January, if that happens. Assuming that is the matchup, Michigan will beat Georgia. I think Michigan matches up well enough. They are physical enough to handle Georgia. The big question will be, does McNamara implode, which could happen? But I think Michigan's offensive line, they manhandled Ohio State last week. Now, Georgia's defense significantly better than Ohio State. I understand that. But Georgia was, I'm not going to say they were soft today because that's unfair to them. But they let Alabama's offensive line have really struggled the last few weeks.
Oh, yeah.
Really handle them today, which was really shocking to see. And Bennett looked terrible against a good defense. And if you're switching from Bennett to Daniels, or should we expect Daniels, who's cold and hasn't played in months, to come in against an elite defense and play well? I'm not so certain about that. I think Georgia opens 7.5. That would be a take on Michigan. I'll probably wait because I think Georgia will get bet.
Mm-hmm.
But I think Michigan's going to take them out outright. And then Bama will beat Michigan in the title. That's just too much to ask of Michigan to beat Georgia and Alabama back-to-back.
And at the end of all this, we're going to get Alabama winning another title.
All said and done, when Alabama should have been eliminated from playoff contention last week,
yep,
because Auburn let them off the hook in every way possible, from Tank Bigsby running out of bounds to allowing them a 99-yard drive in a minute and a half with no timeouts, to Brian Harsin forgetting how mathematics works and going for one instead of two in the first over at the end of the first overtime. So, again, credit to Bama for just destroying Georgia after falling down 10-0 today. That was awfully impressive from what the Tide did.
One thing that I found interesting on the CBS broadcast today was Kirby Smart, Georgia head coach, telling the Gary Danielson, Brad Nessler crew, he admitted to them, he said, I'm kind of worried about my secondary. He felt like they hadn't really been tested all year. He wasn't sure how they would hold up in the game, which is kind of weird when you think about how prolific that defense had been all year, conceding fewer than a touchdown per game on the season, which is nuts when you think about it. But he was right. Kirby knew his team, and they were exposed in the back end.
Look, the best offense they faced this year when they faced them was Arkansas.
Yeah.
That was the best offense they had faced all year. And Alabama's just a completely different animal than Arkansas or Kentucky or this year's Clemson. And look, again, could be overreaction, but even going into today, I was thinking, you know what, I might roll over parlay Michigan. Money line them in the semifinal, money line them against Georgia. I was thinking about doing that going in because I think it would have been just about the same price as those 8-1s and 7-1s that you would see. So,
yeah.
I think Michigan matches up pretty well with Georgia, assuming that is the 2-3.
We'll see.
Right, look, we're assuming the committee doesn't do anything totally crazy where – see an SEC rematch with Alabama and Georgia, we could see, and then Michigan, Cincy at 2-3, but Alabama, Cincy, Michigan, and Georgia, the likely matchups.
By the way, NFL talk coming up next. Our guy Trip Tepper, though, points out USC, Jeff, has less than 50 scholarship players dressed tonight against Cal. The total number of players is below 55. Here we go. Pac-12 After Dark, our last chance, coming up next.